Good evening to you all. Welcome here in the House of the Lord. And I don't think I'm going to take a very long time tonight. I took a study this morning from Bill Malone. And I remember when I was young, Bill used to preach really short sermons. So I'm going to follow in Bill's legacy. I'm going to try and preach a short sermon here. So I'm not trying. I think that's how it's going to end up to be. But as you can see, my title of my sermon is Gold. You know, and gold really is a constant in when everything else, you look at the periodic table and everything about that, there are reactions and those elements, those chemicals, those gases, most of them all change and react. But gold is the least reactive metal on the entire chart. It's also very soft, you know, so you can't really make like durable things out of it. You can't make like weapons and armor out of it. It's too soft for that kind of stuff, but because it's soft, you can shape it, and you can work with it, and so you can make things like jewelry, and you make things like decorative ornaments. You can plate things with it. In modern times, it's used for electrical conductor. It's the best electrical conductor that we know of. Nothing else beats it. Electricity moves across gold better than anything else that we know of. It's been used for years. They have found archaeological evidence in caves in the Paleolithic era, I think it was Paleolithic, like Stone Age type stuff, where they have found bits of gold in these caves. And they think that, you know, the humans were using it or had some assigned some kind of value to it, did something with it, even way back in the Stone Age. You know, gold is hard to find. It's rare. It's in the earth, and there's a theory that most of the gold we have that have access to was deposited by asteroids that struck the earth. Meteors came down and hit the earth. There's lots of gold in the earth, but it's so deep. Yeah, there's nobody's accessing that gold. You can't get to it. So everything that we have access to really was deposited here from space, you know, debris that was falling in. So it's hard to find because it doesn't come necessarily from the earth. We can't get access to it. We can actually synthesize gold, which I've just learned today, but when you synthesize it, it increases the cost so much it's not worth it. So, and also it's highly radioactive when they create it, so it kind of makes it worthless at that point. Gold is something that has always been desirable. We have looked for this because it works easy, because it holds its value, because it doesn't react. You know, you can wear it as jewelry, and there's very, very, very few people have an allergy to gold because it doesn't react to anything. So most people, like less than, you know, 0.1% people actually have like an actual allergic reaction to gold because it doesn't react. You know, and when they use it for stuff, it doesn't tarnish, it doesn't rust, it doesn't oxidize. So you make something and it's going to be gold for as long as it's there. And so it holds its value, or tends to hold its shape and its form. You know, that gold is constant. It doesn't react with hardly, and there's two things it reacts with, really. Mercury, you can mix it with mercury, and mercury will liquefy the gold. It doesn't change it, but it makes it liquid. And so that's why old miners, they would use mercury, that's what they were using it for, is they would put it in their pans, they heat it up, and that rocks that were in there, that mercury would get in there, it would suck the gold out of those rocks that were in there. Which is why they went crazy, because then they would cook their eggs in their pan and then had mercury in there and had mercury poisoning. So there's a certain solution when it's mixed in a certain proportion that will dissolve gold. And you can get it out again later on and still have gold. You don't lose anything. That's how there were people that were fleeing I was a chemist, I forget this, he discovered this. He was in World War II and he was fleeing Germany. And he had a bunch of gold with him, and they were seizing all the gold. So he took the gold, and he figured out how to liquefy it and then store it in jars. And then when he showed it to them, they believed, you know, what he said it was, some kind of liquid reagent or something. And then he was able to cross the border. And then later on, he got back and was able to get his gold back, you know, by concealing it. You know, but there's no, that's it. There's just those two things, really, that react with gold, and that's it. It's constant and stable. And it lasts and lasts and lasts. And people have been using it for a long, long time. These are all gold artifacts in museums. That's a can't really see it, it's that pixelated picture, but that coin there is I believe it's Emperor Hadrian in the Roman Empire, and that gold coin looks the same as the day it was struck. You know, it all the detail. Like I said, not a great picture, but all the detail in the hair and the words, you can read them, and all the little fine lines that are in there, they're still the same to this day. You know, that gold coin's probably been handled who knows how many times. And it's not tarnished. It looks the same. That bright yellow color hasn't changed. It remained constant through hundreds and hundreds of years until it got to a museum somewhere. Even older, those two little statues up there, those are bat warriors from Colombia, pre-Columbian society. So even older, you know, and look at that. It's still shiny gold. You know, they're able to work it and fashion it. And that down there is a couple of earrings. I believe it was a Sumerian one, if I remember right. Ancient Sumerians, they worked those earrings. These are all ancient, old artifacts. And this gold has held throughout time. It hasn't changed. It hasn't lost its shine. It hasn't lost its luster. It's still gold. It's constant, which is why people value it. When you contrast it with, you know, other metals that people have used throughout history, this is bronze, very common. We have an entire age named the Bronze Age because people use bronze a lot. And you look at those coins, and they are quite weathered. You barely even see those inscriptions that are on them anymore, you know, because they've been handled, and as they're handled, they corrode, and that corrosion falls off, and it's replaced, and it loses its luster. And one in the middle is almost, you can kind of sort of looks like a penny, but other than that, they're kind of greenish-gray because all that oxidation from the copper that's in there. And it just fades away. That statue there is a bust. I'm sure that looked pretty impressive when it was built, when it was cast and formed, but now it's gray and dark and, you know, it corroded over time. Also, these are all Roman artifacts. That's a ring down there with an amethyst in it. And you can see how these things have lost their luster. They lost their, on chemical level, they've all changed over time. And they are no longer what they once were. No longer as they started. Over time, they've changed. But gold, like I said, look at that one before. Gold doesn't change. It remains the same. It's constant and sure. So when I look in my scriptures, and I look for, you know, there's a verse in Peter. It's about gold. It makes an interesting statement. We're going to read it here. It's in 1 Peter, in the first chapter, verses 6 to 7. Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you're in heaviness through manifold temptations. That doesn't sound like a very pleasant thing to be, you know, rejoicing over lots of temptations. That doesn't sound like much fun, really. And heaviness, you know, through manifold, that's sounds like a burden. But we'll read on. We'll see what it has to say. That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. You know, I just got done telling you how gold doesn't change and how gold is constant. And there, Peter saying, you know, gold perishes. You know, it's not as constant as God. It's not as sure as God. You know, God is much more sure than gold. He is our constant. And he's always been and always will be there. You know, this gold that perishes, I have an interesting chart that I found today. I don't know if you guys can see that. I hope you can see there's a blue line on there. You can see that blue line. There's really tiny numbers on there. But basically what this is a chart over the last 100 years of the value of gold. And you can see it's all over the place. The highest point it reached was just under $2,200 an ounce. That was back in about 1979. And the lowest point is right about 19, looks like just before 1920, and it was about $200 an ounce, you know. So if you look at this and you're trying to invest in gold, like so many people tell you to do, you know, over the last 100 years, it's pretty erratic. It's not constant. It changes. You know, this is the corruptible portion that Peter's talking about. This gold, it loses its value, it gains its value. You know, back in those Roman times, you know, gold's hard to find. And so when the Roman government and other governments, kings, they would try and make more money, so they would take in all the gold that was pure, and they would taint it. It would put things like lead inside the gold. And it would give him more coins, but it would be less gold. And then, of course, that caused inflation, you know, because every time you just print more money, it doesn't work. Everyone's tried. They're still trying today. No, they just make more. And then inflation goes up. And then your money isn't worth as much. It takes more money in order to buy the same things. You know, gold that perishes. It goes up and down in value because of what we do and how we act. And so it's not constant. You know, over the last 100 years here, it's fluctuated up and down and up and down and up and down. You know, it's not sure. Even though chemically it stays the same, you know, this value that Peter's talking about, you know, gold is corruptible. But God is not. And that's really, you know, the whole crux of my sermon tonight is that God is unchangeable. He does not change. He is not corruptible like gold. He changes. He's forever the same in all things, in all places, and in all times, in all seasons. Look at Psalms 102. I'm going to start in the 24th verse. I said, "O my God, take me not away in the midst of my days. Thy years are throughout all generations. Of old thou hast laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of thy hands. They shall perish, but thou shalt endure. Yea, all of them shall wax old like a garment, as a vesture. Shalt thou change them? They shall be changed, but thou art the same, and thy years shall have no end." You know, this poet is saying is that, you know, this wonderful creation we all walk across and live in and breathe in, it's not going to last. It's not going to be here forever. But the Creator, God, who made it all, He is. He is forever. You know, God is the reason they can say, you know, we as humans view things in time, we view things in space, you know, and we're trying to describe someone who is spaceless and timeless. And so we describe Him as forever, as infinite. It's never ending. He goes forward and backward. He's an eternal round. And He never changes. Because He's not subject to the ravages of time. He's not subject to inflation. You know, the things that He's offered have been the same price since He offered them. In 2 Nephi, in the first chapter, again, verse 65, "For the Spirit is the same yesterday, today, and forever." Again, God does not change. He's the same God that opened the heavens. He's the same God that created the earth. The same God that we serve today. The same God that will be here for all eternity. He doesn't change. "And the way is prepared from the fall of man, and salvation is free." There you go. His economy, His gold, His value, what He has to offer, the price has never changed. It's free. Salvation is free. It's free to all of you and to me. Verse 16, how is it free? Verse 67, "And men are instructed sufficiently that they know good from evil." God has given us all the answers. Literally given us all the answers to the test. Everything that we need to know to pass, everything we need to know has been given. And we all know good from evil. "Wherefore redemption cometh in and through the Holy Messiah, for He is full of grace and truth. Behold, He offereth Himself a sacrifice for sin, to answer the ends of the law unto all those which have a broken heart and a contrite spirit. Unto none else can the ends of the law be answered." And again, not only has He given us all the answers to the test, we fall short, and yet He has given us this opportunity. He has given us the lifeline, His sacrifice of His Son, Jesus Christ. Covers everything that we can't. He makes up the difference. It does not change. It was His design from the beginning until now. He hasn't changed it. He hasn't modified it. He's been the same since the creation of Adam. His intent is for all of us to be saved. So he's given us the answers, and he's given us his Son to cover where we can't. First Nephi in the third chapter, in the 26th verse, and it came to pass that I, Nephi, was desirous also that I might see and hear and know of these things by the power of the Holy Ghost, which is the gift of God unto all those who diligently seek him, as well in times of old as in the time that he should manifest himself unto the children of men. For he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And the way is prepared for all men from the foundation of the world, if it so be that they repent and come unto him. For he that diligently seeketh shall find. Again, Nephi tells us the same thing. We are given everything we need free. That which is more precious than gold, more valuable than all the gold in the world. If we diligently seek, you know, we seek him day after day as if you're mining for gold. You know, you got to go dig in the earth to find gold. It's not just laying around on the surface of the earth. It's found deep within the earth. You got to go digging for it. And when you find it, you got to chip it out or melt it out. Or put chemicals on it to leach it out. You know, you got to diligently seek. But he's prepared everything. He's given us all the tools we need. And he promises, if we're diligent, we'll find that which is so much more valuable than gold. And the mysteries of God shall be unfolded unto him by the power of the Holy Ghost, as well in this time as in times of old. As well in times of old as in times to come. Wherefore the course of the Lord is one eternal round. Therefore remember, O man, for all thy doings thou shalt be brought into judgment. And so he's told us, again, the course and the plan. He knows exactly what we need, and he's given it to us. He told us exactly what he's going to do. And the expectation that he has. He's given us the tools we need, all, so that we can find something far more precious than gold, whose value changes over time, up and down. That God has not changed over time. He has remained constant. He hasn't changed. You looked at him in the Old Testament. He's the same. Look at him now. He's the same. He's that gold standard. He does not take anything else in. He doesn't ever change. You know, God invests quite a bit into us. Looking at Mosiah in the first chapter, in the 53rd verse, I say unto you that if ye should serve him who hath created you from the beginning and are preserving you from day to day by lending you breath, that ye may live and move and do according to your own will, and even supporting you from one moment to another. I say, if ye should serve him with all your whole soul, yet ye would be unprofitable servants. And behold, all that he requires of you is to keep his commandments. And he hath promised you that if he would keep his commandments, you should prosper in land. And he never doth vary from that which he hath said. Therefore, if you do keep his commandments, he doth bless you and prosper you. You know, God is investing in us, and we are kind of like the gold market. Sometimes we do well, sometimes we don't. You know, but he still invests in us. And he doesn't require a massive return. All he requires is that you keep his commandments, that you love him, that you love your neighbor. You keep his commandments. And he tells us, you know, even though I'm pouring more into you than what I'm getting out, I'm going to prosper you. I'm going to bless you. He told, you know, these people here in the Book of Mormon, you're going to serve me on this land and you'll prosper. That's all I ask. You don't serve Satan. You don't serve the devil. We don't lie. We don't cheat. We don't steal. We don't take over our neighbor through force. All those things. And yet, what does men do? Now they seek after earthly gold over and over again. They're chasing it. You know, the amount of gold produced in a year wouldn't even fill up this chapel. It's that much. It's how hard it is, and yet men chase it. They go after it. And countries are colonized because of it. And what does it bring? You can't take it with you. You can't eat it. You know, it's a yellow metal. Yellow rock. And it really just brings us nothing. But God, who changes not, has offered us salvation. He's offered us redemption. He's offered us His mercy and His grace. And He's promised us He will give us everything we need to make it into His domain one day. And all we have to do is serve Him. All we have to do is heed His words and listen and follow. Follow after Christ. Keep His commandments. And in the end, we're going to walk on streets that are made out of gold. Thank you for your time.